Hello, boys and girls. It's your favorite host of the most, Benjamin Dutil from the Horror Heathen YouTube channel and the South Jersey Horror Podcast. Today, I have a very special guest. My heart is fluttering right now because this is just an awesome guest to have on my show, Miss DeWanda Wise. I hope I pronounced your first name right. Please tell me I pronounced it DeWin.
Yeah, it's DeWanda. Nice to meet you,
DeWanda.
Benjamin.
Okay. Thank you for coming on my show. Y'all know her as Jessica in Blumhouse's new movie, Imaginary. Surprisingly, I enjoyed this movie a lot. It's an effective psychological supernatural horror, and the stunning visuals, which I absolutely loved. Like I told you before, it's like a crossover of Beetlejuice and Hellraiser, but without the ghouls and the centipedes. So, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I am in New York. My husband's working on a play. I don't live in New York, but I'm here now. So yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm enjoying the city.
Like I said, my heart is going 1,000 miles a minute here because I'm so happy you're here. So if you could please provide a brief background about yourself.
Okay, let's see. Brief background. I'm a Maryland girl. I'm from Maryland. I did train as an actor. I went to school at NYU. I also had a double major, nerd status in urban social and cultural analysis. And I think professionally, my first lead role came in 2012. And my first series lead was She's Gotta Have It, which is probably, a bit of a career linchpin that came out in 2017. In the genre space, there was Twilight Zone. Also on Apple Invasion, then of course Jurassic World Dominion. Folks, anyone who saw that caught me as Kayla, just saving everyone in that movie, which always cracks me up. And last but not least, here we are with Imaginary.
Fantastic. You have an impressive resume as an actress. Obviously, you're very talented. You were chosen to play Jessica in Imaginary, in which I think by far no one could have picked a better person to play Jessica.
It's very,
So,
thank you.
it's such a very good movie. Despite the negative reviews, I don't care what they say,
Don't
it
care
was
what
an
they say.
awesome movie. It was
Thank
great.
you.
So, for those who have not seen Imaginary yet, or who those who are reluctant to go see it in the theaters, which you can kiss my ass because it's a good movie, it's about a woman who returns to her childhood home to discover that the imaginary friend she left behind is very real and unhappy that she abandoned him. It sounds like a personal vendetta towards you in the movie. It's like
Very personal.
this the Chauncey's like, I'm not having it. She's got to come back. She's got to come back. I'm gonna take something of hers, which she did, obviously. She took your daughter, and which is a very big no-no in my book. I mean, it's
Yeah.
just
Something
the
about
family.
kidnapping children just is
Yeah.
just generally frowned upon,
That and messing with family, that's a big no on my list. Being I'm gonna punch a bear in the face, I swear. So
Absolutely.
so
Yeah,
clearly
I
you
think
have
that
the
was
mother
part of it.
instincts and I'm
Yeah.
sorry, go ahead.
No, that was part of it. Like I am the same way. I'm like super protective of my family. I always have been very protective of my family. You know what I mean? Of their autonomy, of people like not digging into their lives, as a as an actress in this industry. So that was something that, was a very easy tap in. Very easy.
Hell hath no hurry like whoop this corner. Just saying. It's like you become a mama bear in the entire movie. It's just I can see the look in your eyes, like, don't fuck with me, bear. I'm gonna chop your
Yeah.
arms and legs off, pull all the stuffing out. You won't come back to life. You're dead meat to me, pal. So
Yeah.
it's curtains for you, buddy. So yeah. How did it feel being the lead actress in this movie?
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I mean, I like leading things because I like having a lot to do. I like the pressure of, constructing a performance from like beginning to the end. I like having the being in kind of position to set the tone for a movie set. A lot of people don't think about how I always say that like there's a reason it's called lead. Like if your lead actor is in a terrible mood all the time, the set's gonna be miserable. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like morale is everything, and it's super important to me. So I think that was just as important to me as Being like, oh, I'm leading a movie. So yeah, that's why I really, really enjoy it. And just looking out for everybody, making sure their performances, were they could be proud of them. And man, we were working in New Orleans and the crew is just love this crew so much. I keep talking about it because I'm obsessed with them. They were great.
There's nothing like Southern hospitality.
There's
It's
not.
fantastic. Because my mother was born and raised in Georgia, or I'm sorry, born in Georgia, raised in Florida. Well, my grandmother down here, and I going to Florida is like one of the best times of my life because
Oh,
everyone's
yeah.
just so nice down there. And I could bet it was humid as hell in New Orleans too. I don't know if it's what
Oh
time of
yeah,
year
we
you guys
shot
are
over the
going.
summer. It was disgusting. I loved it because I'm into living like, I'm in a sauna. Like I just generally like the feeling like I'm in a sauna all the time, really into summers. So for me it was great. For most of our cast and crew, it was not. For my dog, it was not. Oberon is not really into the heat.
Bitch, you happy at all? She's like, why am I sitting in your lap? Okay, what's going on here? But I bet your hair was all curly and frizzy all the time too, because my
Yeah, it
girlfriend,
had to
you're in
be.
humidity.
There's only one option. That's
So
why, yeah, that's why Jessica had curly hair, because it was like, what other choice could you make?
and my girlfriend constantly had her hair in a ponytail. It's too humid.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So having read previous articles about you doing interviews about this movie, what was it like working with Piper? Is she
Oh, Piper, man. Piper Braun was the only actress we wanted for this role. And I just think she's extraordinary. I really do. I think she's an extraordinary young performer. And she has that perfect balance of being like a young professional child actor, but also still being a kid. You know what I mean? Like it's a very,
right.
it's a, it's a tough, it's a tight rope to walk, but she, she comes prepared. She takes her work very seriously, but there was still a lot of like play and learning and just having a good time. You know what I mean? And I just, it's really special when you get to work with actors. Like I love working with kids because you really get to see them at the beginning of their careers, and then you just get to watch them grow and like flourish and, take off. There's nothing like it.
Right. I love interviewing child actors. I mean, they're so honest with themselves. It's great.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to interview Emmy McDonald, who plays Megan, the
Yes.
doll Megan. She is such a fantastic actress. She was so talented, fun to talk to. And at the end of the interview, she did her little dance for me. She did a little kick flip, and I was like, holy shit,
She's
that
extraordinary. Yeah.
maybe she is. So, hearing your perspective on the movie, you said it's like walking through a labyrinth. Like the maze part. And so is there like is there anything that you could touch about that on a more personal level?
I just think, whenever I thought about the never and ever, I'd always just constructed it. Like if you think about like the construct of the movie, right? This is it's the iteration of Jessica's imagination, right? You kind of see it like there are glimpses you get of like her illustrations. So the way that the never ever was constructed is like in her wildest imagination, she has constructed this like labyrinth, this very blue world with like endless stairways. And so in that context it really could be anything and it could look like anything. And I don't know if you've ever had any of those nightmares that were like kind of maze-like or like you can't quite get out.
I don't think I have, but now you mentioned I probably will tonight.
Probably will tonight. Sorry about that. My
It's
apologies.
okay. It's okay.
I always, whenever I'm in a moment like a life transition, I have I call them journey dreams because that sounds a lot better than nightmares. But I have a lot of journey dreams, and it's just like it's a lot like that. It'll be, a townhouse that goes on and on and on forever with like these endless rooms, and I'm just like just going in room like room to room, and I can't get out, So I remember reading the script for the first time, and even seeing Megan Rogers, her, the prototypes, the like all the emails and the drafts of what the never ever would look like. And it felt like it just really came alive in a way that I understood subconsciously.
Okay, I get it. I understand. I 100% I get that. So, you also stated that you love the twist of the film. So, and I would love to hear your elaboration on that.
Ah, man, it's the both of them. So the first twist I felt very strongly like it actually becomes kind of a like a Robert Frost. Like the film could be a different film in the third act. You know what I mean? Like the film could become like a completely different film, and the first twist was kind of what really like tracking back as an actor from there and thinking about Jessica's like psychological state. You know, whenever anybody asks me like what I'm afraid of, you know, some people are like, they're like, oh, what are you afraid of? And people are like, snakes. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm afraid of snakes and spiders. I've always been like, I'm afraid of losing my whole mind. Like I've always been like, I'm afraid of losing my mind. Because you know what's very easy to do in Hollywood? You know what a lot of people have done? Lost their whole minds, you know. So I remember reading it for the first time in that first twist and being like, oh my goodness, I can imagine that Jessica, especially with her family history, with their dad being in a certain state, you know, having this like underlying fear of like really losing it, right? So that's the first one was really evocative and helped me like track back. The second one, there are some scenes as an actor where when you read it on the page, they're so like delicious and so evocative, and you know that if everyone involved can really like execute it the way that it was like, you know, meant to be executed, that it would be so delicious, you know? And so it was that. It was like, you know, I knew I felt like if I can deliver the performance in this scene, right, and hit all the little technical beats that you have to hit, like in response to what's happening in the living environment. And then, you know, you have special effects in with like all the cool things that they did for our other actors, and everything was practical, you know, everything was practical in that scene. And I just, it was, we shot it over 2 days of filming, and it's still my favorite scene in the movie, bar none.
Love it. That's a great answer. Oh my goodness. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the movie. I really am. I'm gonna have to watch it again just to walk myself through it. And if I was Jessica, what would I do in this situation? That's the type of person I am. So, but your first answer, how people lose their minds in Hollywood, and that's exactly what happened to Heath Ledger playing the Joker, if you
That's
know about that or
true.
not.
That's
Yeah,
true.
he took so many antidepressants, and he was stuck in his mind. He
And
got
he couldn't
so
climb back.
He got so involved in that role, it messed his head. So I understand. I mean, I suffered depression and PTSD, and I mean, if I would lose my mind, I'm screwed. I'm like, I tell my girlfriend, if I start drooling like a vegetable, just take me to a psychiatric ward
Yeah, just
because
wrap it up.
it's over. It came over. So just drop the curtains, man.
The show is over. Let
The
it
show's over. So if you could compare Imaginary to any other movie, like or your favorite movie, what would it be?
go. Oh my goodness. I think I always go to the Freddy Krueger series only because it has that same kind of sense of like relatability. Like when I think of imaginary, just think even like I didn't have an imaginary friend, but I did have a pretty rich, you know, imagination when I was a kid. And, you know, every time I think back on Freddy Krueger and just that very simple notion of like, you gotta go to sleep at some point. You know what I mean? I think that's what made that series so terrifying. It was like, you gotta go to sleep.
Even was the movie that, Nightmare on Street Dream Masters, where they're all stuck in the maze. I'm like, and Freddy comes out the big giant worm, like, nope, I'm done.
Yeah, legit.
Screw you, Freddy, I'm gone. Anyway, do you think that Imaginary would be a great horror movie to introduce to a kid?
I think so. My part of the reason, funny enough, how I got into this was because I did Jurassic World, and my nephew at the time was 8, and he said to me, it was like, my nickname growing up was Pooh Bear, so he's like, Auntie Pooh, what else can I see you in? And I'm not joking, there's nothing else that I've done that this child can see. I was like going back and I was like, Kenny, no, we cannot watch that. Nope. No. Can't watch something great. Nope. And I was like, oh, I should make something else my nephew can see. And so he saw it the other day and he loved it. He's nine.
Fantastic. Oh, that's awesome. My daughter, she started getting into horror movies when she was like the age of 7. I was like, that's a very young age, but I was like, you know what? If she wants to know, she wants to know. So I introduced her to the movie The Monster Squad from the 80s.
Yeah. Oh, that's a
And
good
she
one.
absolutely loved it. She loved it. I mean, the next thing she watched, then she, although she got the, then Five Nights at Freddy's came out, she watched that too. And then
Yep.
she's like, Dad, Dad, I love horror. I'm like, okay.
Isn't it really wild to think though, from like generation to generation? I don't know how your parents were. Maybe they were a little more like watchful or whatever. But man, we just watch stuff. Like I just sometimes I play it back and I'm like, I was watching all kinds of things. You know what I mean? Like in the 90s, it was just like I saw Beetlejuice. I was just like watching movies, you know. And I don't think I'm scarred. I'll have to think about that some more. But
No, my mother took me to see Silence of the Lambs in the movie theater when it first came out. So that was my introduction to horrors.
that's hilarious.
I was 9 years old.
That's
And
hilarious. My parents were wild.
then a year after that, I watched Nightmare on Elm Street for the first time.
Yeah.
And that's when I'm like, okay, where could I find more movies about the genres?
Yes, you're like more. Bring on the Hitchcock, bring on the Kubrick, I'm fine.
Now my whole family thinks I'm nuts, but it's okay. I'm the black sheep of the family
Sure,
now.
origin story, Silence of the Lambs. That is intense. That is an intense first horror movie.
But then again, last month my girlfriend paid for a trip to stay inside the Buffalo Bill house where they filmed the last scene of Silence of the Lambs. We
That's
spent
great.
2 days in that house, and it was fantastic. It's like a huge fan moment for me. I took a
Yeah.
video of the whole house. They had the in the basement, they had the music playing and the whole
Yeah.
dress up area. I was like, holy shit, this is for real, man.
That's a great
It
present.
was. She spent $1,000. It was like
Yeah.
500 a night. So,
That's
and I
a
was
really
like, dude, yeah. I called my mom. I was like, I'm sorry. I got the best birthday present. I love you. You gave birth to me. I know,
Yeah. It has been
but
topped. It
this is
has
the
been
cake on
topped.
this is the
Yeah.
icing on the cake. So,
Yeah, big
this
time.
is. So you already said you never had an imaginary friend growing up. Did
No.
you have a favorite stuffed animal?
I did. I had both Teddy Ruxpin and remember those creepy, speaking of Megan, remember those creepy dolls that was like my buddy and kid sister?
Yes, I do.
I had a kid sister. I actually don't know how my mom afforded it, to be honest with you. Like playing it back, I'm like, how much did that toy cost? Because it was my size. Like,
Well, I had a Teddy Ruxpin for about a week, and then I stuck a Bon Jovi tape in it, and that was just over. My dad took it away.
yeah.
He's like, Ben, you can't do that. Why not? It's cool now. I mean, this is what we're
Yeah.
doing now, right?
Like now he's a rocker. You're welcome.
Because I'm 45 years old. I'm old school. I don't
Yeah.
care. So, are there any behind the scenes secrets you can spill about this movie?
Any behind the scenes secrets? I mean, no, it's kids, so it was pretty tame. You know, everyone behaved pretty well. Piper already talked about how she and the costume department terrorized everyone. So that's just a fun deep dive for anybody who's watching and listening. His name is Fonzie. You know, something that cracks me up, it really cracks me up. The first time I saw Dane, who plays our bear beast, Dane is a former basketball player. So he's enormous. And he comes up, and obviously I know immediately who he is. And he comes up and I was like, oh wow, we're covering up that face. You know, he's a good looking guy. I was like, handsome guy. I was like, oh, we're just gonna cover up that whole face. That's really funny. It's just really funny to me. And we spent that entire job, me and Dane. He kept telling me how he wanted to play a real person. Like he kept being like, oh, I want to play like a lawyer, you know, I just want to play like a regular guy. And I was just like, there's no way you're ever gonna play a regular guy. Like, this is not his first creature feature. He's in Prey, like he has like a history, right? And so then I was like finally thinking, I was like, you know what it has to be? It has to be something where he's like really tall and the whole cast is tall. We're gonna have to find him a tall boy project. And they just announced it or whatever, but he's doing this like basketball show for Netflix.
Very nice.
Made me so happy.
Yeah, I've tried to get a hold of him because I want to interview him about his role as a predator in the movie Prey,
Yes.
because I love that movie. It was an absolutely great movie, a prequel to the Prey. To the Predator, I fell in love with it. I was like, dude, I've got to get some of that movie on my show. So I reached out to all the cast members and no response. I'm like, eventually they might come through. I don't know.
I'll nudge him. I'll hit him up.
I really appreciate that. That's awesome. So I feel as the end of, as the movie ended, I kind of saw like the foreshadowing, the foreboding that there might be a sequel to this movie. There might be a sequel. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's just the feeling I'm getting. And may I hope you, Piper, and God, I hope are taken. I
Thank
hope
you.
you all return. Yes. I hope you all return because I would love to see a sequel to this one. Like a measure to Chauncey's Revenge or some shit, you know? So I think the entire franchise out of the Chucky series, they could do a Chauncey series, okay?
Very
I'm
real.
just
Doesn't
saying.
Chucky have like a TV series now too?
It does three seasons, I think, now.
Yeah,
So
Chucky's busy.
yeah. No, so yeah. Chauncey 2 or Andrew 2, Chauncey's Revenge or something. Chauncey with a Vengeance is coming back. It's like, you people fucking left me here. Now you're all gonna die. So he's got it out for all of you. But I did know that the neighbor, I forgot her name, the old woman who played the neighbor, she has something to do with it. God damn it. I felt that the moment she walked on screen, like, it's
It's
always
hell,
the
right?
neighbor.
She's so creepy. Betty Buckley's so fun. It's such a fun performance.
She looks like a cool person to work with. She really does.
She's the
So.
coolest. And you know, there's something about like that generation too, where like they'll have stories we will never have. They have stories we will never have, and the generation after us will definitely never have, where it's just like nothing was recorded. You know what I'm saying? So Betty Buckley has the kind of stories that like you take to your grave unless you like tell one of your co-stars.
That's fantastic. I love it. I love the it's just I saw that the moment she walked on screen, like, I'm watching you.
Yeah, you're like not her.
So, are there any upcoming movies or projects that you are allowed to talk about?
I mean, yeah, both Pullman's coming out this year, and it's Chris Pine's directorial debut. Super weird, another misunderstood movie. Love a misunderstood project, apparently. But it's like firmly in the like, you know, film noir comedy world. And then I have, you know, another show that my nephew cannot watch called Three Women on Stars. So that's also coming out this year. And I'll be filming, we haven't filmed it yet, but it's already been announced. So I'm filming this movie that's in this vein. It's like a supernatural thriller, it's historical, set in the 1800s, filming that with Guy Pearce. And that one I'm really excited about.
Guy Pearce is such an awesome person. He looks
Awesome.
like a great actor to work with.
Yeah.
So I've seen him with the movie The Seventh Day, I think that
Yeah.
was called, the possession film. That movie
Yeah.
scared the shit out of me. Just
I know. He's one of those actors, you know. I'm an all-in actor, he's an all-in actor, so we're gonna
speaking of horror movies, do you have a favorite genre or subgenre of horror?
Psychological.
Psychological? That
Yeah.
is my number. That is my number two. Possessions and exorcisms are my first one,
Ooh.
so that's I love possession films.
Yeah.
And is the dog in your lab, is that the same dog that was in the movie, or is that a different dog?
No, I tried to get my dog cast in the movie. Jeff was not having it. I was very upset about it. You know, it's really funny though. My brother said the same thing. He was like, "Did you put Oberon in a movie?" And I was like, "No, it's not Oberon in the movie. Oberon is not a Maltipoo. He's a toy poodle." But I really tried. I really did. He would have been terrible though. Oberon would not have. The dog we had in that movie was such a professional. Like she could not be bothered with me. Like I kept trying to play with her, and she was like, "I'm on my break."
I think your dog's like, put me in the movie or I'll poop in your shoe later. Just do it. That's your ultimatum right
Yeah.
there. You want Georgia pillow? You got it. It's all yours.
Make a choice.
So thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. You taking the time out. It's been
Absolutely.
such an honor and pleasure talking to you. This is fantastic, and I'm starstruck, and I don't know, I'm almost speechless now. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, imaginary friends all alike, DeWanda Wise, thank you so much for joining me today. You have been a fantastic guest, and you deserve an Oscar for this role. If not, tell the writers to come talk to me, and I'll set them straight, okay? It's gonna happen.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
And I will see you on the big screen. Take care.
You too. Thank you.